I'm very excited for
the Rich Eisen Show.
I saw a playoff team.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
New England Patriots taking on the Atlanta Falcons.
That is a third pick six for the Patriots.
I saw a team that was once again opportunistic on defense with a pick six.
Another theft for the Patriots.
Take a knee.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, WWE superstar Roman Reigns. Super Bowl winning quarterback Drew Brees, plus Bucks head coach Bruce Arians. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Chris Brockman in his spot, along with TJ Jefferson in his spot. Jason Feller sitting in for Mike Del Tufo. We're all here. The gang is all here. We're here. Kevin Durant's just been ruled out of tonight's game for the Nets with a right shoulder sprain against the Orlando Magic. He's been apparently fighting that, but they're going to give him the night off. Is this one of those, like, he's kind of banged up? If it's a playoff game, he's going, but otherwise we're just going to call it a right shoulder injury and we're not allowed to actually
I would say that.
Rest guys?
Yeah,
when
I would
supposed
say
to
that.
Go? Is that what it is? It's nothing to be concerned
accurate.
About.
Orlando's 4-11, so not a high priority game tonight.
Yeah, I guess so.
LeBron James, 50-50 to go. Game time decision.
We'll see what happens this evening.
Tonight against Boston. NFL, quick, Rich.
Yes.
Cliff Kingsbury just ruled out DeAndre Hopkins.
Makes sense. They got a bye week
after.
Next week
Makes
and
sense.
Then let him go. Come back. These hamstring injuries, just rest him up.
Yep.
And let's go. I mean, that's
I think we
it.
Kind of expected that.
Yeah, I think we kind of expected that. So what do you say about Kyler Murray, the old game time decision on that front? The game time decision for Elijah Mitchell as well, who had a surgery on one of his hands this week.
Game time for Kyler Murray in Seattle.
Okay. All righty. That's and also Jared Goff not practicing today. Looks like Tim Boyle, everybody. Eastern Kentucky's Tim Boyle is going to get the start at the Cleveland Browns.
Could not pick him out of a line.
There is a live shot of Myles Garrett right now with his sickle, just putting on his cape and getting ready to feed on that piece of salmon.
Sickle.
Okay, that's what he's ready to go.
If Goff, this is silly, but I'm going to say, like, if Goff doesn't play, right, and it's Tim Boyle. Should the Browns sit Baker Mayfield and just get him healthy? They could win this game with Case Keenum.
Well, what they should do is they should just do what you're implying and have Baker Mayfield tie the injured arm behind his back and see if he could win that way. That's basically what you're saying.
I think he could. I mean, it's like, and with Nick Chubb back, it's going to be a lot of this.
Then do that. And then just get him the hell out of there when it's time and let Keenum go. I mean, my God, I'm assuming that's a Fox game on Thanksgiving. That they are just, I mean, they got to get Goff healthy for that Thanksgiving game. Otherwise, Tim Boyle or David Blau, for the whole country to sit down and watch that beachfront property happen. You know, it's funny, a longtime executive in this National Football League, who I've known very well because he was smart enough to hire me twice. I'll say his name. He's Stephen M. Bornstein. Yeah, yeah. He once told me, Richie boy, he once sat me down and he told me that, I don't know if I should say, that Thanksgiving games are beachfront property and it should be, teams should be relegated out of having the game if they haven't won in a certain amount of time, that the whole country is watching.
Yeah.
And here come the Lions now again. They will be most likely winless. If they're not winless going into this game, that means the Browns will have lost to Tim Boyle and the Lions at home. That would create a DEFCON 1 on the spot. That's not going to happen. So that's the latest right there. Let's take some phone calls here and then go to TJ's big-ass grab bag before Roman Reigns joins us before the WWE Survivor Series that goes down this Sunday right here on Peacock. Let's go. I think I'm saying his name right. Sravon in Massachusetts. Did I get that right? You there, bud?
Hello, Rich.
Yes, sir. How did I pronounce your name? Did I get it right?
It's Shravan.
Shravan. What's up, sir? You're on.
How you doing, Rich? How's it going, everybody? Hey, Chris Brockman, fellow masshole. How's it going, man?
Yeah, yeah. What's up, my man?
Yeah, a funny game last night. 25-0 victory over the Falcons. Hate to break this up for Falcon fans, but it's the same number of points that they lost by the lead by, 28-3, and the partial lunar eclipse, 3 hours and 28 minutes. How about that?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Game's not over until the clock hits zero. See the Heidi game for the Jets and the fake fight.
Oh, look at you. Look at you just rubbing salt everywhere, bro. You're feeling really good about yourself, aren't you? You're feeling really good about yourself and your team right now. You're calling in. You're just starting to crow. You're crowing a lot.
Hey, man, I'm a journalist at Boston University, man, and trying to, get some facts here on the Rich Eisen Show, a.k.a. the best show in the world.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. Well, look, congratulations on having a quarterback like him and a coaching staff, and have a great weekend. I mean, what else to say? Did you hear what Aikman said last night during the game?
Well, he did a lot of...
What?
He was, just telling it like it is. That's what the best part about Troy on these broadcasts. He's not mixing any words about how bad the Falcons are.
No, but what I am referring to is because I watched the first quarter and then monitored everything else watching my son perform excellently and expertly once again in his school play.
Did he play quarterback for the Falcons?
No, he was not intercepted last night. talking about showing Belichick. And he's got now 287 career regular season wins. So at some point next year, he will go over 300. And I believe he will be 70 years old next year, right? You want to look that up.
Yeah.
He said that he will go for as long as he wants, because they showed Josh McDaniels and how he's a coach in waiting and things like that. But why would Belichick step away, he said? He's going to be doing this for a very long time because he's got his next signal caller for the next 15 to 18 years.
Ooh.
Is what he said about Mac Jones.
That's generous.
And I heard that and I'm like, okay, Troy is all the way in here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Troy's not just going with the eye test too. He's going with talking to people and no doubt talking to the Patriots beforehand and what he's hearing about Mac Jones and him talking to Mac Jones and seeing it. And it's just the latest example for everyone else to have to realize what is happening right now. Because last year in the post Brady year, what we saw is the outlier. Now, what we saw last year, normally for other teams, after you're trying to replace the guy, it normally takes several cracks at it. Bills finally just got it right. Dolphins still trying to find their guy. Broncos had a respite with Peyton Manning, but now they're back in that riptide again. Jets are still trying to find it. Mahomes finally arrived, and the guy that we're talking about, outside of that 1 year with Montana, and to throw DeBerg in there, you're going back to Len Dawson. You're trying to find the next Len Dawson. The Packers did the rarity going from GOAT to another one, right? That's the rare. Last year was the outlier. And so Aikman going 15 to 18 years. 15. You know what I mean? Like
15 to 18.
He's buying that Mac Jones is the guy. Anybody who's sitting here saying, well, you still need to see more. Okay.
Well, also that he won't get a, catastrophic injury.
Well, no. But that's just, of course.
Yeah.
You're just talking about, did they get the guy? No one will ever be Brady, and Mac Jones will obviously have to deal with that. But they'll take the conversation of, well, yeah, he doesn't have six. They'll take that if he just gets two.
Yeah, right. Speaking of Cam Newton, Rich, Matt Rhule just said Cam will start.
Not surprising.
Sunday against the football team.
Not surprising. Yeah. Another must check out week 11. Ron Rivera is slated to join our show next Tuesday, by the way, in advance of Thanksgiving week.
So. Excellent.
Man who has lots to be thankful for. So that'll be an interesting conversation, win or lose, coming off of that game. TJ's Big Ass Grab Bag. It's a Friday. Let's send things over to the seer of the Rich Eisen Show. Go for it, TJ.
Oh, like we always do at this time. Yeah. All right. I love that, Jay. Thank you for that drop for
me.
And, you know, like we always do at this time, kaboom. Guess who stepped in the room? TJ here. Now, listen. I told you guys about Disney Plus, right? They dropped a trailer a few days ago. This is what you were asking me about the grab bag. I was watching Disney Plus. I said it was a streamer. They dropped a trailer for a new TV show that I'm looking forward to seeing.
That is?
And it is She-Hulk. I don't know how, if you guys are big She-Hulk fans. I used to be, I'm a big comic book person, so I've always been waiting for this She-Hulk thing, right?
Okay.
And it's about Jennifer Walters. She's a lawyer who specializes in cases involving superhumans, and she can also become a large, powerful, green-hued version of herself, right? So, first and foremost, I'm going to be really interested in how they do this, right? Are they going to use, like, CGI? Is it going to be animated? Are they just going to slap some green paint on her? Like, I don't know how they're going to do this, but I'm looking forward to finding out. And I always thought, like, someone built, like, China, the wrestler, or there's a woman named Jade Cargill. She's in AEW wrestling. Very muscular. I thought that would be a good She-Hulk, but we'll see. But because of that, it got me just thinking, you know, about green. Green-skinned people, green characters, right? And I decided that we're going to do, as we dig in the big-ass grab bag, we're going to pick out my top five favorite green characters. You know, why not? Why not? All right, now coming in at number five, okay? This character was a little scary, right? It was a little scary when you're younger, but here's what it did. It prevented so many of us from doing really bad things, such as ingesting, I don't know, bleach and other household items that your parents left under the sink. And by the way, why did people leave all the poisonous stuff in reachable places
down
for little kids?
Yeah,
where a little kid can get it. You could drink whatever, eat whatever.
That's a different grab bag. TJ's top five awful digestibles that were within reach of children.
Right? Like, but come on. So, but this person, as frightening as it looked, this person kept most of us safe because it reminded us and let us know that what we might touch or might grab wasn't good for us.
And
right?
That is
Mr. Yuck.
Mr. Yuck.
No means no. Stay away. Mr. Yuck probably kept millions upon millions of us alive back in the day because we would have ate and drank whatever we could have got our hands on.
Right.
So from now on, put all that stuff up high so like Cage Brockman can't reach for it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Neither have I, but that's a new one for me.
Maybe we weren't paying attention.
But you've never seen Mr. Yuck?
No. Nor have I really been fascinated by She-Hulk either, but I'm willing to hear what the next four are.
Now, coming in at number four, we got a superhero. This superhero is she's a bad woman, and she's the adopted daughter of Thanos, the last of her species, and that is Gamora. You might recognize Gamora from, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, the Avengers movies.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you what, Gamora is an elite fighter, all right? You don't want to get into a fight with her, Brockman. She's an elite combatant. She's cybernetically enhanced. Her superpowers are unstoppable. And you know what? She's just a bad shut your mouth. That's played by Zoe Saldana, who, by the way, if you have a favorite movie, Zoe Saldana is probably in it.
She had me at hello.
Yeah, she's in a bunch of stuff. So shout out to Zoe Saldana and shout out to Gamora coming in at number four. All right, coming in at number three, I'm going to make this quick. This big, scary looking ogre just liked to stay in the swamp and didn't really like people, but he hooked up with a donkey and then he ended up hooking up with a princess.
Yeah.
And it's Shrek.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Who doesn't love Shrek, right?
Of course, who doesn't
love
Shrek?
And as a huge Chris Farley fan, I know Chris Farley was initially supposed to be the voice of Shrek.
Oh, really?
Yeah, until he unfortunately passed away. So it kind of makes you wonder, you know, Mike Myers took over for Shrek. But I was kind of wondering, what would Shrek have been like if Chris Farley had not passed away?
A lot more drunk.
But yeah, we all love Shrek. Now, coming in at number two, this one was tight, folks. I'm going to admit, it was between two kind of puppets that are green, right? I didn't want to put both of them in. I had to make a choice. I sweated about this. I was up all night. But I made my decision, and my decision was based on a reinforcement, if you will. So I'm going with Yoda and the child from The Mandalorian coming in at number two.
Yoda.
I mean, look, with all due respect to Kermit the Frog here, I wanted to put Kermit in, but I had to make a choice between the two.
No, you didn't.
And it might have.
How is number one not Kermit the Frog?
Well, number one, I'm going to give you number one. Now, number one is, if you really know me, if you're really tight with me and you're one of my friends, you know, this is my all-time favorite superhero comic book character,
not
period,
Kermit the Frog.
Bar nut. It's not Kermit the Frog. The only problem is Infinity War kind of messed up this for me, because up until the Infinity War movie, this guy, my number one, he was the biggest, the strongest, the roughest, the toughest. He was essentially the Bianca Belair of the Marvel Universe. And then a fight with Thanos happened, and he got pieced up in a way that, quite frankly, no one has ever seen. And he got handled, and he was never the same, and I don't know if he'll ever be the same. So I'm not looking at the movie version of him. I'm going back to the TV version starring Lou Ferrigno. It's my favorite character of all time, the Incredible Hulk, man. Okay. And as my mom will tell you, I was a little kid. I used to run around and bug her in the kitchen with, like, oversized dress shirts over me. Like, I ripped out of them with my muscles, and she used to get me, like, a Hulk Banks. And she bought me all this Hulk stuff, bed sheets and stuff. And to this day, I love the Hulk. And like I said, I'm not happy with the way the movies did the Hulk, so that's why I'm giving a shout out to my man Lou Ferrigno.
Well done.
For having the Incredible Hulk coming in at number one at TJ's top five green characters. And as always, I'm looking forward to your response.
Okay, there you go. Here's my first response. I don't understand, you know, if the senator from Texas got in your head to take the Sesame Street Muppet out. But how does Kermit the Frog not make it?
I just explained to you how Kermit the Frog. I mean, you're asking me.
You had multiple superheroes. Mm-hmm. You could have multiple Muppets.
I could have. You're right.
And I don't. Now you want Mr. Yuck.
Mr. Yuck.
Which,
yes.
You know.
Which, by the way, was created, Rich, at the Pittsburgh Children's Hospital.
There you go. So maybe that's.
It's local.
It's a local thing.
It's local.
Okay.
You mean Mr. Yuck wasn't like a worldwide thing?
I've never seen it.
Are you joking? Like I said,
you're from Southern California.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a New Yorker, and Brockman is from everywhere.
Yeah.
Brockman's a Coast Guard kid, so he's been literally everywhere.
Yeah.
I honestly can't believe you guys don't know what Mr. Yuck is. My mind's blown.
Never heard of it.
They were used nationwide, but they were created at the Pittsburgh Children's Hospital.
Well, I didn't live nationwide.
Look how Kermit the Frog's been seen.
Okay,
can you look that up?
Rich, why are you
is
arguing
international?
With this?
You said you look forward to feedback.
TJ's
you don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but it's like your feedback is you're trying to tell me I'm wrong, and just instead of just saying that. What you like, you're trying to disprove I know what he's doing.
What am
you
I doing?
Went with Kermit
you're, like I said, instead of you're not giving me yours, you're just trying to tell me why mine are wrong.
I'm giving
that
you
is
mine.
Exactly what you're doing.
I'm giving you mine. I'm giving you that Kermit the Frog actually, honestly, sang a song about it's not easy being green. Mm-hmm. He kind of blazed the trail for everything else since then that is green.
True.
That's what I'm saying. Like he is basically said it is not easy being green. He's like, bring it on me. I will shoulder the green cause.
But if you listen to what I said,
and for you to snub him,
what I said was I was going to put both of these guys up there, and then a reinforcement came, child from The Mandalorian, because I haven't really watched The Muppets since I was 12. I've watched The Mandalorian. I've watched Star Wars.
When was the last time you saw Mr. Yuck? I mean,
Mr.
You know
Yuck's
what I mean?
The reason I'm alive. Rich, I would have drank bleach in Altoona if it wasn't for Mr. Yuck, all right?
That's a fair point. It saved my life. Fair point.
All right? I've been dead. Imodium. I don't know. Whatever my mom kept under there. My grandma had a bunch of cans and Crisco, and I don't know, but Mr. Yuck was on there. Kept a lot of us Pennsylvania kids alive.
I can't imagine Kermit the Frog being on anybody's pay no mind list when you're talking about green characters of all time.
Again, he wasn't on a pay no mind list. I just didn't put him in the top five.
Okay. Did you say China was in there?
No, I said with She-Hulk, you would imagine that someone built like.
Yeah. Almost had a Del Tufo moment.
Very good.
Mentioning when she tried to take me home from the Playboy Mansion.
Hey, almost had a Del Tufo moment and then had one. Had it anyway. All right, there's lots in the grab bag.
All right,
now.
So I'm going to say Rich doesn't appreciate that grab bag, but
no,
hopefully you guys at home will. And then hit me. And shout out to Mean Joe Green and Mr. Green Jeans, who I wanted to put on the list, but I didn't.
Roman Reigns coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take a break, and one of the greats in the history of wrestling will join us. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
He is one of the most popular of all time from the wrestling ring, and he is going to be taking place at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, the WWE Survivor Series. You can watch it live this Sunday on Peacock at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Go to peacocktv.com right now to sign up now if you don't have it. And if you don't have it, how have you been not watching us right here on NBC Sports on Peacock every single day? Roman Reigns is here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you? Roman Reigns on the Mercedes-Benz Vans Hotline. How are you, Roman?
I'm well, Rich. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. You're in Brooklyn already? So where you are? You're ready to go?
No, we have SmackDown here in Hartford, Connecticut. So I just got to Hartford.
Okay.
Yeah, the work is never done, my friend. The work is never done.
Your work is never done. Hartford to Brooklyn and then so on and so forth. How are you approaching this event on Sunday night, sir? What do you got for me on that front for what wrestling fans would like to know about you and this event on Sunday night?
Well, if you're a wrestling fan, then you've been following this journey that I've been on for well over a year, year and a half or so. And, man, I'm just trying to stay consistent, just trying to stay in this this groove that I'm in, man. I've been hitting on all cylinders for a while now. I've defended this Universal Championship for I think it's like at almost 450 days. We're approaching that mid mark of 400 or so days. So for me, it's just to kind of stick to my guns, do what I do best, and go in that ring and put on a great performance and defend this Universal Championship. So hopefully another big win.
Another big dub for you, Roman Reigns. So how are you feeling your journey being one involved with leukemia that you've had a private battle with it, then you announced that you were pulling out of events due to COVID concerns in 2020. How are you right now as you and I are talking?
I feel great. And I think anyone who's ever been through health issues or health scares, that becomes ultimately the number one priority. And something I think that, you know, a lot of humans struggle with is putting their health, above and beyond anything else, because if we can't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of anyone else. So for me, it was a little bit of a journey to really prioritize myself, especially someone, as a father and as a husband, you're constantly thinking of your loved ones. But like I said, if you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. And if you're not healthy, you can't really be concerned with anyone else's health, because the name of the game is longevity and being here as long as possible. So I feel good, man. I've done a lot of things, to really improve my fitness and my health. And I've been on, what a lot of people call that fitness journey. And, and it's been going well. But it's definitely a marathon. You know, it's not a sprint. You gotta stay consistent.
Roman Reigns here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you as a defensive tackle, man? All ACC your senior year. Tell me about your game when you were playing in the trenches at Georgia Tech back in the day, Roman.
I wasn't bad, man. Like you said, all ACC.
Okay.
That was so when I tried to break into the league, that was my first run in into CML and with leukemia. So that definitely, especially back in that day, you know, 2006, 2007, it was a huge asterisk next to my name. We didn't have as many, you know, occurrences with young people. So it was just kind of the unknown, the great unknown. But man, I started out at Georgia Tech as a defensive end. I got there at about 250. There was an opening about midway through my freshman year to play some defensive tackle. And I really just had pass rushing skills. I didn't, you know, I had no clue how to play the run. I didn't really have any good handwork. You know, I didn't understand, you know, playing with my hands. I just played with speed, and I was pretty agile. So it was just a learning curve of putting on that weight and getting big enough to be able to, you know, be down in the middle of the trenches, and then also just having the technique and having, you know, the know-how of playing with your hands and feet and, you know, having violent hands, but also understanding the defense and knowing where to be at the right time.
Who's the best?
It was definitely a journey.
Who's the best quarterback you ever sacked? Do you get a sack? Who's the best one you sacked, Roman Reigns?
Oh, man.
Who'd you take down?
Me back now.
Yeah. What do you got? Did you take anybody down? Take anybody out? Any point in time?
I smacked Brady Quinn a couple times back in the day. I don't know if he was the best. He was pretty good back in that day. That was my senior year. I don't know if I ever sacked Philip Rivers, but I definitely have been in his face. I was only a freshman then, so I was just a young buck. I was just a young guy back then.
Taking on NC State, you got in Philip Rivers' grill.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the hardest hit you ever delivered to somebody on a football field? Then, Roman Reigns, you got a good one to start on that one.
Probably it was a quarterback for Auburn. I think his name was Brandon Cox. So there's a play where he was throwing it and I hit his arm and the ball, you know, went up and one of our linebackers picked it off. And when I hit that arm, my momentum kind of swung me upfield behind him. And as you know, when an interception happens, the offense turns to run, right? They try to get that angle to cut off that defender with the ball. And he took probably 2.5 steps and turned around, and I was right there, and I took his head off. It would not hold up in today's game.
Roman Reigns would have been called for targeting. He would have been called for targeting. Is what you say?
They might have took me out of 2 or 3 games. You punish defenders for doing things like that. It was a heck of a play. Maybe a little bit on the dirtier end of the physicality portion of hitting a quarterback that way. But, I mean, I just – and at this point, I had learned to play with my hands. I had gained explosive hand movement and learned how to, you know, really be violent with the hands. And it wasn't just a regular block. I mean, I shot my hands through his chest, and you would think he was a wrestler because he hit that ground so fast and so hard. They don't play that in today's game anymore.
I think we're showing a shot. We just showed a shot of you taking down Aaron Brooks of Virginia. I think that's who we just saw, if I'm not mistaken, right there. Oh, it was not Brooks, my bad. But we just saw you take somebody down, a photograph of you on the screen right there back in Georgia Tech. So if you were healthy, do you think you'd have made the NFL, Roman? Do you think?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I definitely do. Yeah, I was a very good athlete, you know, and my numbers, you know, the numbers I was able to put, you know, up in my workouts and my, you know, the measurables and the testing, they all translated to the field. So I was a very athletic and explosive, you know, 300-pound defensive tackle. I could move, and then I also was, you know, pretty smart within the defensive scheme. You know, I understood what my job was and you know, playing within a defense and my responsibilities. And then I also had some leadership qualities. So I do feel like I would have made a team and I would have had a pretty decent career.
Do you have an NFL team you root for, Roman Reigns? Do you have one?
I'm a 49ers fan. Yeah, my whole family is.
No kidding. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, what do you think of what just occurred, I guess, if you were checking things out on Monday night, the current state of the team, Roman? What do you think about that right now?
So, now I have to – now here's the terrible truth is I'm not the best fan.
Okay. It's all good.
And I don't always follow up. So, I don't even know what happened this past Monday.
See, you're too busy, man. You're too busy. You're too locked in on your world. And that's the thing I do love about – folks like yourself in the wrestling world is you're a lead pipe wielding professional. You're locked in what you got going on for your own self. So, but who was your kid growing up? Who was your guy growing up then back in the day then, if you were, as you were a kid for the 49ers?
Oh man. I mean, Steve Young, Jerry Rice, we had Dion for a little bit.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. There's some, I mean, Ken Norton Jr., Ronnie Lott. There's so many. I mean, how can you not be a fan? We can just, the list goes on and on, right? There's so many greats that have gone through the Bay. So we've been very fortunate. You know, you see some teams, you know, they don't have that much to be proud of within their organization and their team. And it's been many. I mean, imagine being a Browns fan. I hope you guys aren't Browns fans. not to pick on you guys.
No, it's okay.
You know, I mean, imagine if you haven't had any much great success.
No, I know. I'm a Jet fan, Roman. So you could just fill
right
in that.
Right there, then. You know
right
exactly
there.
What it's like then.
I'm right there. Yes, I am. I feel like you've just literally thrown me out of the ring right now. But it's all good. No worries. I have my Rich Eisen Show social media grandmaster, wrestling expert, TJ Jefferson, who always asks questions of people of your stature when they come on the show. TJ, you got a question for Roman Reigns?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, Sole? I just wanted to say right off the bat.
How's it going?
Good, brother. It's good talking to you. First of all, I have a message for Joe, if I can. A buddy of mine, Colin Peak, I was speaking to him yesterday. And he had some great things to say about you and your time at Georgia Tech with Calvin Johnson, Rich. They all played on the same team together.
How about that?
So okay. Colin told me to tell you hello.
Yeah, Colin, the tight end, right?
Yeah, yep. Yep.
Yeah, I think he came from, I want to say Alabama, maybe?
Yeah, he transferred Tech. He played for Alabama, won a national
That's
title
right,
with them.
Yeah.
And then he went to the Falcons. And was in their camp for a year or two, and then now he's out doing this thing.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, he had a lot of good stuff to say about you.
Okay, cool.
Now this question is for the Tribal Chief, if we can switch into that character. Now,
okay, yeah.
Tribal Chief, what I like to do on the show when we have wrestlers coming is I like to kind of pitch my services to them. Now, I understand you have the bloodline, and you have your wise man, and you have your right-hand man. But I want to let you know that I'm part of the L.A. Umaga, and I am willing to just give you my services as I sit here on the Rich Eisen Show, a nationally televised sports show, right, Rich? It sees
sure.
Millions and millions of viewers.
Yes,
and
I agree.
I look at this, Tribal Chief. When you're out doing your thing, you could use me as someone okay. who can help spread the word for the bloodline. And so all I'm asking is, if you'd be willing to give someone like me, who sits in front of a microphone and who can spread the word and the gospel of the bloodline, a chance to be a consigliere, if you will, a subsidiary member of the bloodline, someone who maybe not sits at the table, but stands behind the table. And I'm just saying, I'm just putting that out there to you just to see what the head of the table thinks. And we have a picture that I don't think you can see, but Rich, you and Brockman can
see.
It's me in the ring with you and the Usos and the wise men. And I feel like I would be a perfect fit to help you in any way that I can.
Okay, so you're auditioning then?
I'm auditioning, yes. You know,
you're vying for an opportunity here to.
Yeah, I thought you had a question for
me. The question was that. It was just like, are you looking for someone like me who can help the bloodline in any way possible? That's all I'm saying.
Well, we're always looking, you know, for people who are trying to sing our praises and you know, magnify the scope of what we're doing. So I dig what you're trying to do here.
Yes.
But this is why I have a special counsel in Paul Heyman. So I'm going to have to refer you to the wise man.
I understand that.
And he will be the loops and hoops that you're going to have to jump through. But I think you're off to a good start here. You know, I think the most important part is understanding what you're stepping into and the greatness that is going to be, you know, shining upon you and the island of relevancy and all the responsibilities that come with that.
I'm ready for that, Tribal Chief.
We're always okay. I mean, that's first step. You have the okay to send this resume now to my Jew, to the wise man. And
well, he already has one of those right here, Roman.
Yeah, so you have one and I have one, Roman. So, you know, and that's all I was looking for, Rich, was a slow yes instead of a quick no from the Tribal Chief. Now we can put the process in order. I'll talk to the wise man, Paul Heyman.
So there's now a pecking order that you've gotten. So basically, if I understand, Roman, he's gotten passed through the first step of the process is what you're saying here.
This was, I would say, yes, this was... This is the easiest step, though. You know,
I accept that, Rich. I accept that, Roman. I appreciate that because Bobby Lashley. I tried it with him in the Hurt Business. He was kind of like,
"So what you're saying you're telling Roman that he's second?
Not at all. Because this was before the Bloodline was created. This was before the Bloodline was created.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you see what happened with the Hurt Business, right? That's not the team you wanted to be on.
No, sir.
Exploded.
No, sir.
We're holding strong. You know, we're doing it big over here. So,
all right.
Hey, well, I appreciate you.
Roman Reigns, have a great performance tonight in Hartford. And obviously, we are going to be seeing you on the WWE Survivor Series on Peacock on Sunday night. Thanks for the time. Let's do this again soon. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Rich. Thank you so much.
Right back at you. That's Roman Reigns at WWE Roman Reigns on Twitter, at Roman Reigns on Instagram, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Now, Chris.
Hey, Rich.
I know you don't want to be involved right now.
I don't want to be involved.
I know Brockman's, in the same way that he guessed my start bench cut of films that were placed in front of me by a caller yesterday, and he knew my answers before I wrote them down or as I wrote them down, that we know each other because we've known each other for a while. And I could tell by his body language he doesn't want to be involved right now, but I've got to do it.
Okay.
I've got to do this out of consistency.
Yes,
and also, I have to do this as the host of this show, and it's something for me, even though it is absolutely 100% going to be at the expense of you.
I think we all kind of figured that out with the long soliloquy into it.
So, Chris... As somebody who's beat red-faced right now, and that's the look I see from you after my multiple at-bats and swings and misses to ask a player in the NFL to have me nickname him.
Yep.
And I've had, you know, Matt Ryan many times on this show, and he's refused the Mattrell multiple times, and I keep climbing that tree. Then I tried the Mattrell with Stafford. And he realized he was getting sloppy seconds, and he rejected it. And then I went back to Matt Ryan while trying to, at the same time, dub Patrick Mahomes the Patrol, because you remember that show, that Showtime Mahomes thing just didn't seem to fit.
Showtime didn't really work.
That was almost your breaking point, Brock.
Where does this attempt with Roman Reigns, when I gave him the floor, he's the wrestling maven here. He knows how to make news with wrestling, and he chose that real estate to try and get himself something. Where does that exchange rank?
Now, Brockman,
for you, Chris.
Before you answer, Rich, I want to throw this to you and make you think about this. Rich has been given no's every time he's asked, right? Except for Derrick Henry.
Oh yeah, you didn't
this
know the
man
answer. You can't
just
you know
said,
the answer. Right.
Okay, we'll move on. So take that into consideration, please, before you give your answer.
Where does this rank?
Let me chime in real quick, too.
Yes.
Okay, I don't even think that was really fit, but.
Okay, Rich, because we go back such a long way.
Yeah.
One of the first things I learned from you is if not me, who?
Right.
If not now, when?
That's my philosophy as well. Yes.
So first off, mad respects to TJ for going for it.
Yes.
And just trying to, you know, ask a question, looking for an answer, getting involved. I think where you went wrong was going back and forth between who he is as a real person and who he is as a wrestler. That kind of confused not only me, but I think confused him for a second. It didn't go well. It didn't go well. You're 0-2 now, which is completely fine. I don't want you to stop trying.
I'll never stop trying.
Well, I just want the same intensity.
Well, no, there's no intensity.
Michael Irvin has said, I want the same intensity that I get grief.
Well, hold on a second.
Think about what I just told you, though, Brockman.
This is only TJ's second attempt.
Okay. Yeah. Not
you've had like 22 at least.
You're exaggerating.
Over how many years?
Over a decade.
10 years.
Yeah, over a decade. Uh-huh. So, you know, maybe the next time and the next time if it doesn't go well, then I'll maybe bring down the hammer a little bit more on TJ. But
so it doesn't rank yet?
Not yet, but we're getting there because it was, you know.
He's trying to be too nice.
Like I said, Brockman, he said I get to move through with the application. He always gets a no. So
that's true. Yeah, your application process can now be.
Thank you. So that seems like a win to me. But
well, it's going to come back, no?
It could.
This is, you know what this is?
It went through.
This is a Mad Lib. This is a Mad Lib. It's the same story.
For both of you?
Yes. It's the same story, but we're just changing the proper nouns and the verbs and a little bit of the adjectives. It's the same story, except you find my story a lot more open for you to take shots. And for him, you're giving him a pass, and I totally find that offensive.
Because I'm just having fun. We'll I think just you go to break. Really want
we'll go to
nickname.
Break and we'll try we'll go to break and we'll try and marshal our sources again because we've got Drew Brees and Bruce Arians coming up.
Maybe so Drew will take a nickname around. From you and then you'll feel better about it.
I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that.
You don't?
I don't think he wants it.
Big third hour.
It's a huge third hour.
Huge third
Can't wait to talk about our third hour.
Huge third hour.
This hour about TJ, about his big-ass grab bag of green people and his big swing and a miss with Roman Reigns.
I don't see it as
huge.
A miss. I don't see it as a miss.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Al in Atlanta, let's take your call. Al in Atlanta on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, guy? What's up, Al?
Good morning, Rich.
How are you?
Oh, not good. Not good. Now, to TJ.
Yes.
No Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, man?
Oh.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they were in consideration for sure. I wasn't that big into Ninja Turtles.
I mean, you know, they're turtles.
I think just age-wise, I was like past that age when they really got popular.
Gotcha. I was right in that age. Brockman.
Hey, buddy.
Thank God I thought better of trying to parlay my horrible loss last week to TJ into a possible win against you because, oh, my God, that was the worst.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that to you, Al.
Yeah, horrible. Horrible. And I understand. You can't gloat. You can't gloat because of your home life. So I get it. I get it. And to Trevon, getting his name right, Trevon in math, does he think we can't do math down here in the South? We knew. We knew. It was painful. The best thing that happened to us was Young Wei having his made field goal taken off the board and then missing the next one because I know for sure if the score was 25-3, Belichick would have been like,
oh.
Let's kick a field goal.
No, I don't know about them apples.
What do you? Why not?
No, please.
Like, oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
No, McDaniels might have, like, encouraged
stop
them, and Bill might have shut it down.
Stop it. Stop it. It's not like Bill's, like, you know, paying attention to Barstool shirts and stuff like that.
Bill knows what the score is.
No, I'm sure. Look, thanks for the call. You just brought up, to me, you know, outside of having both the backup and third string quarterbacks throw interceptions,
so
one
crazy.
Being a pick six
That's
to finish
crazy.
That game to make it even worse.
Weren't they back-to-back drives too, Rich? if I'm not mistaken.
It was the third. It was a three and out with Rosen, where it was a third down throw that went the
and
other
honestly,
way.
Honestly, on Matt, then, I know you didn't see it, Rich, but Matt Ryan's pick that J.C. Jackson got.
Yeah.
Should have been a pick six, but J.C. toe tapped and then his toe stepped out of bounds, or he had a clear lane for a pick six.
Yeah. I mean, look, the worst sequence in my mind was because that's when the game's over, right? And when it's 13-0, it felt like the game was over.
Oh, it's the third down.
But for me, it was a third down in inches on the 13-yard line, and just why aren't you running it?
13-yard sack.
Now, that's the difference to me of what Cordarrelle Patterson being in the game or not. I think they probably would have bashed with Cordarrelle Patterson or something like that. Or third in inches, instead it's a sack, and then it's a field goal attempt that is wiped off the board. They swapped out a field goal for a missed field goal, 45-yarder for a 50, and then that's...
Guy didn't line up right, so they had illegal motion. They only had five guys on the
right, and they also had, they also had an illegal formation in the first drive where they were backed up inside their own five, and Arthur Smith was shaking his head. And
at one point in the game, they had more penalties than first downs.
You know what? The Patriots' defense... Best in the NFL, number one in the NFL in covering tight ends. Number one. They gave up 29 yards a game to tight ends. Do you know how many yards? 29.3 yards per game to tight ends. Do you know how many yards Pitts had last night? 29. I mean, they hit their average right on the head.
Wow.
And, I think you sent me a tweet to this effect that they should have chosen a quarterback, or they should have traded back. They shouldn't have taken Pitts.
It was from Joe Banner, actually.
That taking Pitts and not taking Mac Jones or Justin Fields, or trading back and using all of that to get more draft choices, is going to be something that we'll be talking about for years to come.
Isn't that what all the noise was pre-draft?
That was the noise all pre-draft. Why are you drafting a tight end if you need a quarterback, or you need so much more than just the generationally terrific tight end? And, how many touchdowns does Pitts have this year? I think just the one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had games where he's had over 100 yards receiving, but you want to look that one up for me?
But Matt doesn't even
I think
even
he's
have...
gotten in the end zone once against the Jets.
He doesn't even have time to get the ball to Pitts downfield.
Well, he should. I mean, Pitts can get open.
But he doesn't have the time. The line isn't great.
He's
got one touchdown.
One touchdown. I mean, and
he should be so good.
And Belichick sung his praises coming into the game, and afterwards said, "I'm glad we're thankful we don't have to see him again." And that weapon gets three catches for 29 yards. That's it. Targeted him once, and the ball was kind of thrown behind him in the first drive of the game. And then, poof.
There was one, Devin McCourty's interception. Pitts kind of stopped his corner route, and Matt kind of threw it to where the hole in the zone was, and Devin came over and picked it.
It is just remarkable how things change so fast in the NFL.
This was a Super Bowl team how many years ago?
Dude, the Falcons were the 7th seed. On Sunday, they woke up Sunday morning, the 7th seed, going into Dallas with the Cowboys looking the way they did against Denver. And, never know.
I was a little nervous.
Certainly if they came in and played offensively the same way that they did last year and losing that game on an onside kick. But 5 days later, they are boat raced, shut out, and no touchdowns in the two games. And you're wondering, how bad can they possibly be? Drew Brees and Bruce Arians coming up hour 3.